This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the stock market's down. Dome is down for a VP. We'll talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about patriotism being the essential element for a country. All that, Sean Spicer and more, coming up next. Okay, the stock market, the financial system, Japan, us, my 401k. You woke up this morning, you looked at your phone, and you started weeping. Okay. I want you to understand a couple things. First, we're going to get to Carol Roth in just a couple minutes, our financial expert, and she's going to break down for us what happened. Is it the end of the world? Is this a blip on the radar? Is this just, if you're looking for the details and the technical stuff, we will get to that in just a couple minutes. I want to hit on something different first, though. It's different, but it's not different, and this is why. This is going to be a zoom out. You know how we love to zoom out on the show. Don't focus on one individual story, one scandal, one headline of the day. Zoom out. Take a 30,000-foot view, look down in it, so we can understand what we're seeing and why we're seeing it. So not only will it help us understand this story today, it'll help us understand tomorrow, whatever the new scandal is going to be. And the next day, in 10 years from now, if we learn about the how and the why, then we understand things so much more. So allow me to do this. We're going to talk for a moment about patriotism, and that will come back to the markets. Believe me, this is coming back to the markets. It doesn't sound like it will, but it will. So just stay with me here. So yesterday, I was in the kitchen. And we have one of the drawers where we keep our trash can in the kitchen. Wife doesn't want it out. It smells or something like that. So I see one of my sons, open up the drawer. And he had an empty wrapper of some kind, always eating. And I see him look. And I see him just kind of jam it in there. And then try to close it. And I said, hold on. And I walked over there and I look. And trash can is overflowing. And I said, son, what are you doing? What do you think you should do right now? And he said, take it out. That's right, take it out. Why should you take it out? He said, because I'm responsible and because I care enough about our house to take the trash out. It's a true story. So what's going on in the country? Let's talk about patriotism, shall we? Patriotism is one of those things people don't really fully understand. if you're on the left or you're part of Republican leadership, it's something you kind of sneer at, roll your eyes at. Well, here we go, America. That's on the left. If you're on the right, not you personally, but if you're one of the norms, the normies, I'm surrounded by these people, what is patriotism to them? Well, it's putting on an American flag hat on July 4th, of course, and I'm a patriot, I love guns, and that, okay, well, I love American flag hats, I own one myself, I certainly love guns, but that's not patriotism. Patriotism is love of country, genuine appreciation of country, a feeling that you, me, that we're blessed to be here. And when you feel like that, you automatically, when you feel that kind of love, that kind of appreciation, you automatically feel a sense of duty to that nation, an obligation to that nation. You look at the trash and you automatically take it out because you love it here. I love this house. It's a roof over my head. It's air conditioning. There's food in the pantry, and there's something that needs to be fixed. I will fix it. You look at your country in the exact same way. The problem we have, and this is not unique to America, this is all across the West, we have a patriotism problem in the United States of America, not just at the bottom, at the highest levels of the government, the bureaucracy, corporate leaders, and that explains so much of why we are where we are. You see, when you wake up and you're the president, you're a senator, you're a member of the House, you're a CEO of Facebook, you're a whoever, when you wake up and you don't feel even the tiniest obligation or duty to your country, to your fellow American citizen, then what it does is it gives you a license to do whatever you want to do. You become completely beholden to your own selfish desires because you're not part of something bigger. You're not part of a country that you should serve and protect and love. And America just becomes a bank vault to you. If you want to understand why the evil people who lead us do the things they do, Democrat and Republican, why do they do it? Because they don't love the country, not like you do. They don't even, most of them never even think about the country. They look at America as a bank vault. That's it. You, the annoying citizen, caring about your rights and prices, you're an inconvenience. They keep you around, though, because you're a tax farm. That's how they look at you. They don't look at your suffering. You're sitting there, you can't afford groceries. You just moved back in with your parents. You're suffering. Your daughter was just raped by an illegal. And they don't look at you and feel any amount of sorrow or sympathy whatsoever. Those things only would well up inside of patriots. You are a tax form. You're a battery that powers the system. And that's why they do everything that they do. Why in the world would you flood a nation with tens of millions of barbarians from all over the planet? You wake up every single day, you have a news article about American girl raped, American family killed in a DUI, American jobs ruined, American schools overrun, American hospitals overrun, costs going through the roof. And if you're one of the politicians, Democrat and Republican, who are doing that on purpose, if you had any sense of patriotism or obligation, any sense of duty for your country, you would look at that and you would be mortified and you would say, close the border and stop this. And we have to care for American citizens first. But if you don't feel that, well, open up the gates, bring them all in. It's cheap labor, baby. Cheap labor, easier votes. These people crossing the border aren't worried about their Second Amendment rights. That's you, annoying citizen. You're so annoying, they're just going to bring in someone to replace you. Why would they do that? Because they don't love the country. Why do they pass trillion-dollar bills? You know, you've probably heard me. If you've watched the show for any length of time, I will ask House members and senators when they come on the show, I will oftentimes ask them when it comes to spending, you know, don't your colleagues understand that they are destroying the value of the dollar and destroying future generations? Don't they understand? I always ask them, don't they understand? Don't they understand? And almost universally they respond, they understand. They don't care. Every single time Democrats and Republicans get together and pass another $1 trillion bill, well, they weaken the value of your dollar. They weaken the future of your children and your grandchildren. And they know it. They know it. Every single time they know it. They don't care. This is just the bank vault, of course. Your children, your way of life, being able to own a home, find a good job, afford groceries. Those are just thoughts of the peasants. The people who rule the West don't care about the peasants anymore. They just care about looting the country. Why do we have these huge stock market problems, real estate problems, commercial, residential? Why do we have an open border? Why do we have all these things? Because the people who run the United States of America don't care about it at all. And I've got some really, really, really bad news for you. Before we get to Carol Roth, she's going to give us actually some hopeful news as well. So I'm not going to finish on that, but just know I've got some worse news for you. Whatever they do to solve the coming economic problems, whether these problems are tomorrow, next year, 10 years from now, whatever they do will make the problem worse. Whatever they do, it will be terrible for you and good for them. They will spend money and hand it out to their friends while you suffer. They will split up and piecemeal all these small banks and hand them out to their large bank friends. You see, the evil people who run the United States of America can't ever, ever, ever come up with a patriotic solution, a solution that is good for the people to any problem. It doesn't matter what the problem is. They can't ever come up with it because they're not patriots. Patriotism, what's good for you, what's good for the country, never even enters these people's minds. You know, we talk about them hating the country, and oftentimes they do. Oftentimes that's very, very true. You know, you get somebody like Rashida Tlaib. She really just hates America. She'd set a whole country on fire if she could. But the real sad truth is most of the people who lead the West, they don't care about it at all. Remember when Democrats passed the Inflation Reduction Act, a $1 trillion bill that didn't do anything to touch inflation and handed out $1 trillion to their political allies, and then they called it the Inflation Reduction Act right to your face. Remember Mitch McConnell? After that GOP took back the House in the midterms, there was that little window of time, that two-month period of time where it's called a lame duck Congress, and you generally don't pass anything during that time. It's considered kind of something you don't do. And Mitch McConnell got with Democrats to pass a $1 trillion omnibus bill, a big handout to these people, all the friends of the government, all while you couldn't afford eggs. The truth is we are led by evil, evil men. And they hate the country. And until we fix that, whatever scandal comes today, tomorrow, the next day, it won't matter. We can't save this place without patriotism. That might have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Carol Roth is going to join us next to talk about that. Speaking of patriotism, you know, there are companies that hate this country quite openly, actually. To their credit, they don't really hide it anymore. And then there are companies that love this country. You know, I had a chance this last weekend to sit down and spend some time with Pure Talk. You have any idea how much their CEO loves this country? Vietnam veteran. Have you ever talked to a Vietnam veteran? They're a different breed. They love this country. They do something really no one else does now. They even hire Americans. When you get a hold of someone at Pure Talk, you speak to an American who speaks English. Get rid of Verizon. Get rid of AT&T, T-Mobile. Stop paying the people who are destroying the West. Stop paying them to do it. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV. All right? We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sure, the economy.
What are you going to
talk? And the environment. And a few other small things.
That aged well. Joining me now, I'm sad to say, even though I love her, Carol Roth. She's the author of many books, but one you might want to pick up pretty quickly here, You Will Own Nothing. Carol, okay, we all woke up today. Everyone made the horrific mistake of logging into their 401k if they were allowed to do so and started crying. I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand why it started in Japan. I don't just pretend like I know nothing about the economy. Carol, what happened today?
All right, I'm going to have to dig deep to pretend you know nothing, Jesse, but I'm going to do my best here. All right. So basically, this has been going on, honestly, for a few weeks. We had markets that were just soaring to crazy, crazy highs. And that was led by a group of seven stocks, the magnificent seven tech stocks. And I think that one day investors woke up and not only realized that they were overvalued, but that in order for all of the AI hype that has been pushing up these stocks to come to fruition, that businesses were going to have to spend a ton of capital to make that come true. And so there was a bit of a repricing, more than a bit of a repricing. We wiped out trillions of dollars of value. Magnificent Seven over the past week has lost about $1 trillion of value. So that kind of kicked things off. Then middle of last week, you you had Jerome Powell come out. The investors were hoping to hear that maybe we were going to get a rate cut, even though it wasn't expected, which we did not get. And the table has been set a little bit for September. But then what happened on Friday is we got a really ugly jobs report, and it triggered a recession indicator, which, again, may or may not be a thing. We've had an inverted yield curve for multiple years. But all of a sudden, now the market feels like, oh, the Fed may be behind the curve. We're not going to get this expected soft landing. Things are going sideways, and we ended up with an ugly day in the market. So that's what's happening in the U.S., all of these things on the U.S. side. On top of it, fears of potential World War III and unrest in the Middle East. So you have that going on in the U.S. At the same time last week in Japan, you had sort of a different dynamic going on. Japan has had negative to zero interest rates for almost 17 years. And 4 months ago, they finally decided to do this tiny little raise. And they, again, on Wednesday, decided they were going to raise again. The yen was weak against the dollar. It was making their imports, their food, their oil more expensive. But they didn't really thread the needle very well. The yen got very strong. And all of a sudden, that kicked off what is calling the Japan reverse Japan carry trade. And basically, in very simple terms, people have been borrowing in Japan because they've had zero and negative interest rates at these very low rates. We've heard the story before. They plowed that money into things like the yen, like stocks, whatever, shorting the yen, buying stocks, perhaps some of the tech stocks we have. As these things change dynamics, as the yen it strengthened in price, as some of these tech stocks decreased in value, all of a sudden what happens? You get margin calls. Oh no, we have to panic sell things. And then once that happens, that kicks off another layer of margin calls and the selling begins selling. And then all of a sudden you had Japan's stock market down almost 12.5% in their first day of trading of the week, our overnight last night, which was the second worst day on record since 1987. So the concern was that we're going to wake up this morning and there was going to be this massive contagion. And certainly there was some. But the good news, if I can give you any good news, because there's a little bit of a silver lining, two things here. One is that the amount that we opened down in the stock market, we've recovered some of that, not all of that, but we've bounced back a little bit, which is a positive thing. And then on top of it, we're also up massively for the year. I mean, even with the pullback in technology, the NASDAQ is still, over the last 52 weeks, up about 30%. The S&P 500 up around 27%. So yes, it is an ugly day, and we never like to see these big down days and these contagions, but it isn't the big bloodbath that I think everybody expected that it might be and was worried that it might be. And I don't think, and I hope I'm right, that this is the undoing of everything. I think that this is going to take a little while to unwind. And this isn't it yet. Not to say that there won't be an it yet, but this isn't it yet. So hopefully that gave some clarity, Jesse.
Okay, it did. And it gave some hope. Could you maybe indicate for us why things stabilized a little bit? We were all crying in our Cheerios this morning, and obviously it still hurts. I'm not being dismissive about somebody losing $100,000 from their retirement account, but it didn't continue free falling all day. Why? What happened?
Well, I think I think a lot of these sophisticated investors understood that more of the catalyst wasn't the recession fears. More of it was this liquidity issue coming out of Japan. And when you have something that is, because of market dynamics and not necessarily related to the values or fundamentals of companies, not to say that there aren't issues there, but that's not necessarily the full extent of what triggered this, that there are some people who probably saw this as buying opportunities, that when their favorite stocks that they've been watching came down, that they were able to get in. So there was enough interest and support in terms of buying, whether it was the market indices overall or certain stocks, that they were able to absorb some of that extra selling pressure that we were seeing coming in as a contagion.
Carol, I hate to nerd out on details, but you know sometimes I get hung up on little things. Could you elaborate for the stupid among us what the Magnificent Seven is, these tech companies you brought that up earlier. What is this?
So these are like the seven biggest tech companies in the world. They're all the names that you know. It's Apple, it's Amazon, it's Google, it's Meta, formerly known as Facebook. It is Microsoft. It is, who am I forgetting here? NVIDIA and Tesla. So these are these huge tech companies that have absorbed, you know, lots and lots of capital, many of them on the backs of the idea that AI is going to be this huge productivity revolution, and that these companies are going to have an outside benefit and it's going to shape the economy. And so all kinds of money has gone into these companies. And that is really what has been carrying the market up. We haven't seen as much of a broad-based increase in the market as I would like, you know, kind of spread out among stocks. It's been very heavily concentrated in these stocks, which if you're investing in the indices, you're getting exposure to as well. So that has been bringing up, the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ and the like. So that's... They've gone up, but they've also, as I said, in recent weeks here, lost some of that value, given some of that back. And again, I don't think it's necessarily because any one of these companies is a huge concern. I think it's more because the valuations and the exuberance got ahead of themselves.
Okay, let's just touch briefly on this before I let you go. War, and I realize this may be a longer answer, and if so, that's fine. Obviously, we all can see what's happening. Iran may be bombing Israel. It's a big old mess over there. Russia's getting involved. We have a carrier group over there. It's getting spicy. We hope, Lord willing, nothing happens, but it certainly might. So let's set aside the death and the carnage and the misery and things like that, and let's just talk about money for a moment. What does this do to markets? If I wake up tomorrow morning and, God forbid, Tel Aviv is on fire, do I need to be withdrawing all the money from the market? What does this mean for markets? War.
So in general, I always think it's a bad idea to withdraw money based on a panic in the market. You should have a very good plan with your financial advisor on capital, not only appreciation, but preservation and what to do. And usually those days of panic are where the retail investors really get hurt because they don't get back in the market when it goes back up again at the right point in time. And so they lose a lot of capital appreciation or preservation potential. So it's not the kind of thing to panic about, but it is something that you should be talking to your financial advisor about to make sure that you've got the appropriate hedges in place and you've got a balanced portfolio. It's a good question what happens. I guess it depends on, you know, how bad the attacks are. Is this really war? Is this something that's, you know, more self-contained? You know, if you look at the price of oil today, Jesse, you know, even though we're seeing Iran saying that it's going to attack Israel, we're still seeing oil down because there's more of a concern about recession fears right now than there is that this is something that is going to escalate today. Now, that can go ahead and change. Certainly, we've seen companies like Lockheed Martin's stock go up significantly in past weeks and months in anticipation. So there will be the companies, I hate to say it, that benefit from it, and there will be the companies that don't. You know, net-net, it's not a good thing. It's something that we don't want to involve ourselves in, not only from the humanitarian reasons, but from an economic standpoint. That being said, and I've said this to you many times before, you know, we are on this precipice of a changing financial world order. And while all wars do not lead to a changing financial world order, every change in a financial world order has been preceded by what, Jesse? War.
Well, what a shock. The defense contractors are doing okay. Man, you've never seen that before. Carol, you are the best. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. You might want to go pick up her book, You Will Own Nothing. Learn a lot about who's actually running the economy, the world, what they want for you, for me. We talked about this a little bit in the open. Worth picking up. All right. So let's shift gears off all this dark economic news and patriotism in America. And let's talk about the VP pick, Dome. Dome's supposed to roll out her VP pick tomorrow. Is it going to be Shapiro? Sure, looks like it's going to be Shapiro. Sean Spice is going to analyze all that for us in just a moment. Before Sean does that, I'm going to analyze something for you.
your sleep. More specifically, what you take to sleep. Everyone has a thing. When they don't feel like they're good to sleep, I hope you don't take something every day, but when they don't feel like they're good to sleep, a thing they take. Listen, there are a bunch of things that can help you sleep. A bunch of things that'll put you to sleep. I have found exactly one thing in my entire life that I can take to sleep, and I will feel amazing when I wake up. And that is Dream Powder from Beam. It's all natural, melatonin, things like that. It's hot chocolate, really. Mine's cinnamon chocolate. I warm up a glass of milk, mix it up. It's delicious, cup of hot chocolate. I just sit there, just reading a book, watching TV, sipping on it, and I'll drift off to sleep. Okay, good. But when I wake up, I don't feel groggy. I don't feel half dead. I don't feel like my body weighs 500 pounds. I feel amazing. That is the difference. You want 40% off? Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
VP. It's weird that Dome picking her VP is almost like a 10th tier issue today. There's World War III, the markets are crashing, but Kamala Harris, who really worked hard to earn that nomination, is now going to make her selection. And who are they going to pick and why? And remember, they don't think the way we think. They don't think the way you think. They don't think the way I think. Is it Mark Kelly? Is it going to be this loser in Minnesota Walls? Is it going to be Shapiro?
Well, I don't know. Let's ask Sean. Joining me now, my friend Sean Spicer, host of the Sean Spicer Show. He always has all the good inside juice on all this stuff. Okay, Sean, I understand everybody and their brother thinks it's Shapiro. And if I had to bet, I would bet it's Shapiro. But let's be honest, Shapiro's Jewish, and that doesn't land that well in the Democrat Party anymore. It's weird how times have changed, but who's it going to be and why?
I still think Shapiro makes the most sense. If I could take 19 electoral votes and get a better chance of getting them, that would make my life a lot easier if I were her. I think electorally he makes the best sense. I talked to a couple Democrats about what you were just saying. And I mean, like, big time player Democrats. And they said to me in response to this accusation about anti-Semitism, which is unbelievably running high in the Democratic Party, they said, where are they going to go? And I guess in a way that's I get why they're thinking that way. I find it ironic that a party that loves to throw arrows the way they do has such an open problem with anti-Semitism in their ranks. And I also think it's sad to see a guy like Josh Shapiro, who is very proud clearly of his religion, backpedal the way he is. He's embarrassed, which continues to show that not just Kamala Harris, but potentially Shapiro, it's they stand for whatever they need to stand for at the moment. Josh Shapiro should be very proud of his religion and saying, yeah, I'm a proud Jew. I'm proud of Israel and its role in the Middle East. And yet here he is apologizing for standing firm on Israel and afraid of the work that he did in college. I did a lot of things in college I'm not proud of. But standing up for Israel is not one of them that I would be embarrassed about. And anyway, I just it's now, I mean, it might as well be him, because they're literally both seem to be willing to say or do whatever it takes to whomever they're talking to.
Okay, Sean, let me dig into this a little bit deeper with you, because I am curious how big of a problem this, you know, Hamas lover base of theirs actually is, because there's so much, look, it's an overused phrase, but there's so much gaslighting today. There are so many paid organizations, paid protesters, paid this, paid that, you know, and I never know whether I'm seeing the same 1,000 faces on the news every night, one at Columbia and they fly to Berkeley and do it the next day, or if they have a legitimate, you know, 200, 500,000 person problem who hates Jews. Your Democrat friends, how big of a problem do they think this is?
It's an interesting question you're asking, Jesse, because they all acknowledge it's a problem. But their answer is, well, when it comes to voting, they're not going to vote for Trump. My concern, if I were them, would be that's fine. But there's also a third option we have, which is not to vote. And in a state like Michigan that was won by 10,703 votes in 2016, I would be very concerned about those 16 electoral votes if I were them. They seem to have it in their mind, where, by the way, that's the reason we bring that up, is there's a very large population of Arab Americans there. I would think it's a problem. I also think that we're overlooking young people. So you look at a state like Wisconsin, where you've got Madison, huge, huge population of college students that tend to vote Democrat. If they're disillusioned, if they really are rallying around this thing, then that's a problem. And remember, again, Madison, Wisconsin was won by two-tenths of a point last cycle. So these are margins that you're playing on the edge of in both campaigns. And if I was Harris, I think that they have to factor it in. All that being said, I would rather take Shapiro's and hope that he can get me Pennsylvania. No one else, Waltz gets you Minnesota. I get it was in play with Biden. I don't think it's really that in play anymore. Mark Kelly, I don't think it gets you Arizona. I think Trump still wins Arizona. And so all that being said, and this is the first time in my lifetime that I would ever argue that you're actually using a VP to get you something, right? Most VPs are additive in the sense that they you know, Pence helped with the evangelicals, but the voters weren't going to go anywhere else. It reinforces something that the candidate needs to have reinforced. Quayle added youth to Bush, but it wasn't like they were going anywhere. Biden added foreign policy to the newly senator from Illinois, Obama. So, but I think in this case, if Josh Shapiro can legitimately put Pennsylvania in play, there is a political reason to put him on the ticket. That being said, the other thing is apparently they're the only two that have any, Kamala Harris and Josh Shapiro, the only two of the finalists that have any kind of personal previous relationship.
Jeez. Okay. Now let's talk about Kamala for a moment. She's had a bounce in the polls. There's no question about it. Every poll is different. She's up 2. She's down 3. But she's not down like Joe Biden was down. That at least has been fairly consistent across all of them. Now, what are we seeing here, Sean? Is this just the all-out propaganda push from the Democrats and their friends in the media that does work? It can effectively bring you up for a time. Is this the honeymoon phase that's about to end? Or are we looking at a yet another 1-2% presidential race? What's your instinct on this?
Well, two things. First of all, like if this pen was the one thing that you didn't like about Democrats, and I put the pen over here in a way, I mean, that's what Kamala Harris effectively did. When they got rid of Biden, they pushed him out of the way. They took away the biggest impediment to Democrats and independents who had problems voting for him. They got rid of it. So she defaults to being the Democrat that they can live with. They don't like her, but she's just not Biden. Now, she got a sugar high. Again, you replace the one impediment that you have with anything else, people go, oh, cool. Okay, good. So she's riding a sugar high. But look, you talked about this just a second ago. Look around the world today. Look domestically today. And you realize the Biden-Harris policies are a problem. The number one issue that voters care about is the economy. What happened today scares people. It scares people who are working today, who have savings, who are hoping to retire. It scares retirees who are living on a 401k or an IRA. People are genuinely concerned today about the state of the world, whether or not we're on the precipice of a world war, whether or not what's going on in the Middle East bleeds into us to some other way, the economic implications of this market cratering. And that's because of these policies and both sides. And the one thing that Trump can say that neither one of them can say is, you may not like me, you may not like some of the things that I've said or done, but for 4 years, this country was safer and more prosperous under me than it is for them. There might have been chaos in my White House, but the world was safe and calm. They might have a boring White House, but the world has turned into a chaotic nightmare under their watch. That is an unbelievably succinct argument that they can make based on their record. It's not promises. It's not hypothetical. It's not, I will promise you, I will do this, I will appoint this. Trump can literally point at his record and say, for 4 years, I did the job. The world was safer. The country was more prosperous. The country was safer under my leadership. Do you want more of that or more of the nuttiness that's going on now?
No doubt. Sean, thank you, my friend. Go. You want that kind of wisdom every day? Go watch Sean Spicer. I do. That's how I get smarter. All right. The churches. The Olympics going all full demon mob and all that other stuff. What are my thoughts on it? Well, we're going to talk to Megan Basham about that next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars,
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You've heard me talk to you many, many, many times about America's Christian church, about the failings of America's Christian church. The apathy of Christians in this country is something that makes my head explode. And the pathetic weakness and oftentimes open corruption of America's pastors, elders, leaders, it has gone a long way to gutting this country. And I'm really, really glad Megan wrote the book she wrote. Joining me now, reporter for the Daily Wire and author of the book Shepherds for Sale, Megan Basham. Megan, you wrote the book on this. This is something I rant about so often. There is so much poison coming from the pulpit today, and it freaking steams me.
Well, yeah, obviously it, I'll say it upset me as well. And it's part of why I started researching it and investigating what was going on. And a big part of what I found was that, yes, some of it is organic. You have some pastors who are simply falling prey to fear of man, as scripture calls it. They want to align with a culture. They don't want to be distinct. But you also have a lot of this being orchestrated. So you have left-wing foundations funded by billionaires like George Soros, deliberately setting up evangelical front groups and making use of evangelical leaders to create AstroTurf campaigns to try to co-opt that all-important evangelical vote. And, you know, for your voter or for your viewers who may not be aware, they need to know why all conservatives, all Americans, all patriots need to care about what goes on with evangelicals, because they are 30% of the American electorate. And even left-wing media outlets like The Atlantic call them America's most powerful voting bloc. They were the people who put Donald Trump in office. They are the people who have been holding back the leftist agenda on issues like anti-human climate change policies, on open borders policies, when it comes to immigration. And so it's very important what's going on with them. And that is why so much of this leftist effort has gone into co-opting their institutions and their churches so that that influence will trickle down.
It is interesting how often this stuff is flat out nefarious and not just some do-gooder weenie pastor in his skinny jeans who doesn't understand how to protect the nation or protect his flock. But actually, I want to talk to you about that guy for a moment. We'll come back to the Soros thing. My pastor actually gave us a sermon a couple weeks ago, and he couldn't help himself. He had to talk about how we're called to be kind to the immigrants. Of course, just completely freaking lost that he's a wonderful human being. And of course, we're supposed to be kind to everyone, but doesn't realize he got co-opted, the dirty communists co-opted his faith, his belief in kindness and love, and they co-opted him. And there he is up at the pulpit, running his stupid mouth about things he knows nothing about. How often does this happen to pastors where they just kind of get used?
This happens so often, Jesse, and I spend a very long chapter detailing the very issue of immigration that you just brought up. So what you will see these AstroTurf organizations, these left-wing funded evangelical organizations do, is they'll create a general statement of principle, something like what your pastor said that we all agree with. Yes, of course we should be kind to immigrants regardless of how they got came to be in our country. Yes, we should share Jesus with them, regardless of whether or not they are legal or illegal. But what they do is then take that general statement of principle and they use it to approach GOP lawmakers and say, look, your evangelical constituents, the most important constituents, the people who put you in office, want you to back Senator James Lankford's border bill that allows up to 5,000 illegal immigrants into the country every day. And the important thing to know about that, when they say things like we want to be kind to the immigrant, that is absolutely true. But we also want to be kind to the citizen. And allowing this kind of chaos is not loving our neighbor. It's not loving the people who live in our communities. It's actually very hateful. It's not just a question of crime and drug and sex trafficking. It's also a question of the job loss that they're experiencing, the housing prices that the next generation is experiencing that's classing them out of the American dream. So all of this is not kind, and we need to talk about that as well.
Oh, it's a fact. There's nothing Christian about bringing barbarians in to rape your women and steal your jobs. Nothing Christian about that at all. But, you know, we're going to set that aside for a moment, and I want to go back to what you were talking about Soros and these left-wing organizations who are co-opting and doing horrible things with American Christianity. Is there not a right wings, I know you're all over this stuff and I'm glad you are, but is there a Christian organization or Christian organizations aware of this and pushing back against this, or does this all fall to you and me?
I'm going to be honest with you, Jesse. Right now, it mostly falls to you and me. I wrote this expose. I brought an incredible number of receipts. I show hard documentation. I show IRS 990s that prove beyond a question of a doubt that people like George Soros, like Buddhist eBay founder Pierre Omidyar, like the Clinton Foundation, like Bill Gates, that they are funneling money into these evangelical and Christian organizations. And now that I am bringing it up, you in fact have so many people who have benefited from this system that they have mobilized to try to discredit the work, to try to say, you shouldn't listen to this. I've seen a lot of, it's not Christian for her to be criticizing our evangelical leaders like this. This is divisive. You should mark and avoid. So they are doing everything they can right now to avoid the substance of this book. And all I can say about that is that is why it's important. And this is not just a plug for me, but it's important to buy it, be aware of this information, and start demanding answers from your pastors and from your ministry leaders, because the incentive system right now is all on respectably ignoring it. That is the polite thing to do, to pretend it's not happening. So the only way to stop that is for enough people to say, we see what you're doing and we're demanding answers.
Good. I'm glad they're criticizing it. I would worry about it if they weren't criticizing it. May I suggest everyone who goes to church maybe purchase a copy for your pastors? Pastors don't make any money unless they're Joel Osteen, so you might want to purchase a copy for them and give it to them. They'll actually read books you give them. I've done this before. Okay, Megan, before I let you go, the Olympics, obviously, it's not something I'm currently watching because I hate that demonic filth they pulled in the opening ceremonies. But what strikes me is how bold they are about that stuff. It's so bold. It's so in your face now. It's so very obviously a spiritual war that's been declared. And I'm kind of floored at how many people can't see it or don't want to see it.
Yeah, not just that. Some of these pastors that I was just talking about, you have actually seen them out arguing for Christians don't need to be upset about this because the Last Supper isn't actually a representation of Christ. I have seen pastors out there doing it on social media, Jesse. They say that we as Christians are not to be about our outrage, so we therefore should show no love for our Savior in objecting to his mockery and to his denigration. And all I can say is that I don't think those people know their Bibles. It is it's despicable, and I have to question, how much do you love your Lord that you in no way feel that Christians should object to this? And look, as a Christian, I also have to say that the fact that it is Jesus that they mock and that they denigrate again and again tells me that they understand where the real power lies and that there's only one true faith, and it's the one they continually attack.
Yeah, well, the good news is it's nothing Jesus isn't used to. Megan, her book is Shepherds for Sale. Thank you so much, ma'am. I appreciate it. Seriously, go buy a copy for your pastor if it's something that interests you. If you read it, you like it. Pastors don't know. I had a lunch with one of my pastors a few months ago. I forget when it was. I probably told you about it on the air. And wonderful guy, just wanted to chat and check on my family, and it was wonderful, it was good. But the topic, because of what I do, the topic of politics and the news and the world came up during the course of our conversation, and he didn't know anything, nothing. Just totally, blissfully unaware of what's happening in the world. We can't have that. We can't pull ourselves apart from that. Anyway, something to think about. All right. You know what else you can think about? You know you can podcast this show, right? Josh Hammer, Mike Slater, any one of our shows. If you go to thefirsttv.com/podcasts, you can just go get a podcast version. Listen at your leisure. We'll be back.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And you probably have heard of trolling. Never heard of trolling? It's something that people will put something up online, something that's obviously wrong or false, just to get people mad and screaming and yelling about this. And look, I don't have very many skills, as you know. I'm a great orderer of food. I make a wonderful cheeseburger. I'm a wonderful napper. But beyond that, I don't have a lot that I'm good at. But I'm very, very, very good at trolling. And here's why. It's not just immaturity, although there's a whole heaping helping of that. Here's why I'm good at trolling. Because I understand what it actually is. And here's what trolling actually is. It's taking somebody's false notions of you and reinforcing them to make them look stupid. For instance, if you're on the left, if you're a dirty communist, maybe you're one hate watching this show right now. I know you believe a bunch of things about people on the right, but one thing you definitely believe, no question about it, you believe people on the right are stupid and naive and uneducated. Of course, you went to an Ivy League school and you live in New York City. And of course, every farmer in Iowa is an idiot. Of course, that's how you're trained. That's how the American communist thinks. And so because that's how they think of us, I like to use that and make them look dumb. I put up a stupid post on Twitter a while ago calling the Statue of Liberty basically American architecture. I said something to the effect of, well, the Europeans would never know that this is American architecture. And of course, everyone knows it's a gift from France. Well, this was a joke I made. I swear it was a year ago. And, well, watch this.
Jesse Kelly DC tweets, people love to sound sophisticated and brag about European art and architecture. I've seen America's, and I've seen what they've got. Theirs can't touch ours. And then he puts up an image of the Statue of Liberty, which
was a gift.
Is French art and French architecture. You rube dumb.
That's how you troll. You take their false notions of you and you use it to make them look really, really, really dumb. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.